This is The Drive with Dale Lally and Matt Williamson on your 24-7 home of the black and gold, SNR, Steelers Nation Radio.
Welcome to The Drive. I'm Dale Lally here with Matt Williamson, and it is a rainy Friday here in Pittsburgh, but the Steelers finishing up phase two of their OTA sessions yesterday, and we'll get into phase three next week. We'll have plenty to talk about then. And one of the main topics, Matt, over the next few weeks here, over the next actually couple of months, will be the contract statuses of the Steelers pending free agents at the end of the season. The two most notable, Deontay Johnson and Minkah Fitzpatrick. We've talked about Deontay a couple of weeks ago in his contract situation. But I thought it'd be a good time to talk about Minkah Fitzpatrick's situation. And one thing I wanted to bring up here, I know people are talking about this situation like, boy, what if Minkah holds out? Nobody's going to hold out.
Nobody's holding out, right?
That is a thing of a bygone era in the NFL. It's $40,000 a day mandatory fine if you skip training camp, and they can't waive the fine at the end of when you do sign a new contract, which is what used to happen when those guys would hold. You'd see guys getting, oh, he's getting fined $10,000 a day. Well, then after, you know, at the end, when he finally signs his contract and reports, they would, you know, part of the contract negotiations would be that you would waive those fines. That doesn't happen anymore. You can't do that under the new CBA. So nobody is skipping camps. That's why we saw hold-ins last year as opposed to hold-outs.
That's a good point. I've got the hold-in term. It's one of my favorite things about the new CBA, honestly. I mean, I just thought holdouts were really bad for the fans. And to be honest, it took me back to when I was a kid, a teenager, and didn't quite understand the finances of it as much. And I would just be like, what do you mean my favorite player is not with my favorite team anymore? You know, why are they fighting? You know, why is mommy and daddy not happy? You know,
and the reason for that is the guy's under contract. Right. Like, if you're under contract, you are obligated to show up for mandatory stuff, and training camp, last time I checked, is mandatory.
That's what contracts are for in any walk of life, you know, right?
And exactly. The players always, well, the team, they don't necessarily live up to the contracts. They could just cut you. Okay, they could do that.
But everybody knows that when the contract's signed.
Right, you know that when it's signed that there's a possibility that they could cut you. That's why you should get the signing bonus and everything with it. You're not paying that back if you get cut.
Right. Everyone knows it works both ways.
Yeah, the Steelers have traditionally they won't talk to a guy who's under contract who is holding out.
Right. And that makes perfect sense. You're not here. I'm not going to talk to you.
You have a contract. You show live up to your side of the deal, and we'll live, you know, we'll talk.
That actually makes contracts happen better. You know, being in the facility is good for all involved. I mean, there's some weird ones like Deshaun Watson last year, which is as weird as you can get, where he's at training camp and whatnot, and everyone knows he's not going to play for them. And I don't know if he's like playing safety for them or what, but even like the TJ stuff last year, to me, you'd know better than me, but it seemed like sort of a mutual decision is,
Yeah,
we love you so much. You know, we don't want you getting hurt anyway. You know, we don't need to stress your body. You know, we trust you to stay in shape and be the top player you can as we talk about contract stuff. So, you know, it's all good. You know, I mean, I think that's a good thing. And again, I think you just said this, but just to reiterate, like the old days, you'd be like, yeah, when we make the new deal, we'll just cut out all those $40,000 fines that happened, you know, 10 practices you missed. Well, you're not allowed to anymore. You know, like that you have to pay it.
Yeah, you have to pay it. I bring this up as well because if you've watched, now we haven't been able to physically be at any of the OTA sessions other than the rookie mini camp. But if you've watched some of the photos and things of that nature that the Steelers have put out on their social media and on their website, Minkah Fitzpatrick's been at all the OTA sessions, or at least a good portion of them. He's not worried about this contract status. And here's why. I looked this up. Even at his franchise tag value this year, it's 10.7 million dollars. That makes him, I believe, the eighth highest paid safety in the league.
Yeah, right.
It's far different from TJ Watt's situation last year, where he was making on his 50-year option deal was like $10.2 million. Mm-hmm. That made him the 15th highest paid edge rusher.
And one thing you played out.
And his contract was less than half of that of Bosa and Miles Garrett. So he was making less than half of the highest paid guys, whereas TJ Watt's making about 70 to 80% of what the highest paid guy is. Yeah, or Minka. Yeah. I'm sorry, Minka is.
Right. And one thing you've laid out really well this offseason that I feel like I need to do more research on is not every 50-year option and subsequent franchise tag is created equal, you know, right, by any stretch of the imagination. And I think a lot of our listeners probably don't understand that. Like, I always use this example, and this doesn't really apply, but because Aaron Donald is so much better than all the defensive tackles on the planet, franchising him is a disservice to him because he's not one of the best five. He's far and away number one.
That's
not the case with Minka.
It was $10 million under what he should have been paid.
What he deserved, right.
You know, per year.
Because he's too good.
Right. Same thing with TJ Watt. I mean, even if you looked at the franchise tag with him, it was half of what he actually deserved as a two-time finalist for the Defensive Player of the Year award, and then finally winning it last year. I mean, he deserved to be paid what he got paid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the going rate, and obviously the Steelers didn't balk at that. Again, fifth-year options aren't always the same. It depends where the player has accomplished to that point, Pro Bowls and things of that nature, you know. So, but still, safeties aren't that highly paid still. You know, I mean, I think that's slowly changing across the league, but you can still get Edmonds like bargain safeties. I don't know that you can get the studs, the tier one guys, the Minkas, you know, much cheaper, much longer. But now's the time to me to lock him up to a long-term deal because the Derwins and, you know, whoever, you know, the next generation, I think the league is going to realize safeties are a little more valuable than given credit for. They're not considered a premier position, but boy, it's sure nice to have one that can do a lot of things.
Yeah. It's nice to have that tool in the toolbox. If you look at the highest paid safeties in right now, Jamal Adams is $17.5 million per year. That's a bad contract.
A bad contract, right?
Yeah. Harrison Smith's average is
Warner than he is.
Yeah.
Fitzpatrick, you know.
Harrison Smith comes in at $16 million a year, and he's probably going to get cut after this year.
I would say they used a first round pick on a similar style safety. I mean,
yeah. If not this year, he's going to be out. Yeah, he's going to be out next year. He's 33 years old.
Mm-hmm. And he's had a great career. He might go to the Hall of Fame. But, I mean, he's nearing the end.
Justin Simmons is at 15.25. Buda Baker's at 14.75. Eddie Jackson's at 14.6. Kevin Byard is 14.1. Marcus Williams, 14. Quandre Diggs, 13 million dollars. And then Jesse Bates is going to be an interesting one here.
He is. Two or three safeties.
Yeah. They franchise tagged him, and he has said that he's not going to sign the franchise tag. Now, what that means is he's not under contract, so he could hold out a training camp.
Because he's not a football player.
Because he's not under contract.
Right.
He has an offer on the table, but he doesn't have to sign it, and he's not on, you know, so the Bengals are kind of in a tough spot. That number is $12.9 million, and he wants a new deal.
As he deserves. I mean, he's, those safeties you listed there, I'm going to go back to Bates in a minute, but are all high-end quality starters, the Buda Bakers and Diggs, and not all of them are probably household names. Justin Simmons, to me, is the best of the group and the highest compensated of the group that you mentioned there, behind Adams and Smith, because I think they're kind of –
they're older player, yeah. Well, Simmons is 29, but...
I know, but I mean, if I'm Minka's agent, I'm starting with the Simmons contract. We'll get back to that in a second, though. But Bates, to me, knowing that organization and knowing what they did in the draft, could he be a trade candidate?
I think there's some potential for that because they drafted three safeties.
Right.
And, you know, you got a 25-year-old guy here who... You know, I'm sure they would love to have him, but if he's going to hold out, that's not going to happen. I don't see them caving on that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the other interesting thing about this is that Adams and Quandre Diggs are on the same team,
which made the Adams trade even dumber to me. To be
they're honest. Paying their two safeties an average of $30.5 million.
Yeah, wow. And they're not even like close to the Bills safeties.
No.
You know, in terms of production and value and all that stuff.
I would rather have Minka and Edmonds as opposed Whoa. To Jamal yeah. Adams and Quandre Diggs. I mean, they're both good players, but
I mean, I think
Minka's the best players.
Yeah, Minka's clearly one.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I hear you. But if I'm Minka, I think I want Simmons plus.
Yeah, and I that's a $61 million deal. There are people who, well, the Steelers shouldn't pay that. Well, first of all, it's not your money. They have a much better.
1/4, is that what you said?
$61 million. I'm looking here for the contract. It was a 4-year, $61 million contract with $35 million in guarantees. $32 million of which was fully guaranteed at signing.
Okay. See, I think that's what the Steelers and Minka maybe settle on, right in that neighborhood.
Yeah. I mean, that's $15 million a year, $15-plus million a year. His cap numbers are 5.75 in 2021. That's when he signed the deal. 18.8, 18.1, 18.2 over the final 3 years of the deal.
I'm sitting next to my printer in my daughter's room, and it's starting to go off. So my apologies, but I have nothing. Hopefully that doesn't catch on here, but such is life. Live yeah. radio. I think Minka is worth every penny of that, to be very honest with you, especially with the nature of this team in terms of long-term leaders and building blocks, the amount of cap space the Steelers have next year, which they could either have him influence that heavily or not, the number of contracts they have coming up that are looming, which isn't many. And I very much believe the salary cap's going to go up even more than people realize, I think. You know, like,
yeah,
if you can
yeah.
get him 15 a year, 2 years from now, we might be talking about that's one of the best contracts in the league.
Well, that's the thing. I've heard people say, well, they shouldn't make him the highest paid safety in the league, which would be 17.6 or something like that, an average per year. Here's the thing. The day he signs that contract, he'll be the highest paid safety for about 5 seconds.
Right. That's just how that goes.
It's all relative. That's just the way it goes. And then the next guy will overshoot that. And 2 years from now, he'll be the seventh highest paid safety in the league.
Right.
It's a reality.
TJ's not going to be the highest paid edge guy for long.
Yeah. I'm looking here at SpotTrac, and they're estimating the adjusted salary cap for 2023 to be $218 million. I'm here to tell you it's probably going to be more than that.
Just the way owners have spent this offseason. Owners and agents to me have the best idea of what the league is making and where the cap will then go from there and the revenues. And just the way spending went and the style of spending indicates to me that if it wasn't for COVID, the salary cap would probably be $25 million more than it is now, and we'll get there soon. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I'm looking here. So right, according to SpotTrac, this is based on a $218.2 million adjusted salary cap. The Steelers have $52.4 million in cap space going into next year.
Okay.
It's going to probably end up being more than that. If you start looking at the contracts that they have, Watt's contract is $27.1 million. Cam Hayward is at $22.25 million. Chukwuma Okorafor is $13 million. Miles Jack is $11.25 million. James Daniels, $11.16 million. Mitch Trubisky is 10.6. That's because all those guys signed, you know, short-term deals that gave the team some cap relief this year, but it does start to go up. Mason Cole, 6.9. Levi Wallace is 5.4. Akello Weatherspoon is 5.4. They basically signed the same deal. And mm-hmm. then you look, I mean, Najee Harris is $3.55 million. Like, that's right. That's the things fall off rather quickly after that.
Yeah, right. You're so young. I mean, that's the beauty of this. And there's and not you, a $40 million quarterback involved.
Or, if you look at the calculated market values of some of those top players, SpotTrac saying TJ Watt is worth $27.8 million. Well, he's at $27.1 next year. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they kind of get a bargain on them. Deontay Johnson's calculated market value,
$22 million.
Because receivers are expensive now.
Because receivers cost a lot of money. Minkus Fitzpatrick's market value, $15.3
million. These all add up to me. These aren't astonishing numbers at all to me.
Yeah.
Two nuggets just to throw in that are kind of big picture thinking on this. I know you're on SpotTrack. I just went to Over the Cap. And according to them, the Steelers have 60-ish, you know, to spend, which is more than every team in the league except the Patriots, Seahawks, and Bears. You know, like,
right.
Immediate cap problems are not an issue for the Steelers at all. And then I even clicked it all the way to 2024, and there's only like six or seven teams ahead of them. You know, like, they don't have all these huge things kicking in. You know, Pat Mahomes' deal escalates, you know,
right. Things like that. Because you're not paying the quarterback. We've talked about this 1,000 times now.
To me, this is what all last year was about. And this should be Kevin Colbert's final legacy, not whether Kenny Pickett turns into Lamar Jackson or not. You know, I mean, like, setting the team up in this way was the expense of having to play football the way they did for a year. And big picture, it's beautiful to me, but few will understand it or recognize it. And the other thing I think you have to analyze, particularly with the Minka contract, the Watt contract, these big ones, are not as he the highest paid safety in the league, or 2 years ago, that would be an astronomical number. What really matters is what percentage of the salary cap
does he
take up. You know, yeah. I mean, the pie keeps getting bigger. You can't judge things the same way.
Yeah. If you look at it, TJ Watt next year, this again, according to SpotTrack, is 12.4% of the salary cap. Cam Hayward is 10.2%. Chukwuma Okorafor is 6%. Miles Jack is 5%. James Daniel is 5%. That you can live with those numbers because of that.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, that, I mean,
the four young guys. They're not declining players.
If we go back to, say, I'm just calling up 2017 here, and we look at the I got to get it. It's asking for my password here, but I'll get there.
Okay.
So Ben Roethlisberger in 2017 was 10.8% of the salary cap. Antonio Brown was 8%. Le'Veon Bell was 7% and didn't play a snap. Marquise Pouncey was 6.5%. David DeCastro was 6.5%. So, you know, you're in line with,
right.
Yeah. With what those guys were, your core guys. If we take
that, I apologize.
That was 2017. If we take that to 2018, okay. 2018, Ben Roethlisberger was 12.8% of your salary cap.
Mm-hmm. And hopefully Kenny Pickett or Trubisky turns into Ben and you make him 15% of your salary cap, you know, but you don't have to worry about that for 4 years.
Right. You know, it's certainly, you know, it doesn't kick in. If we look at the 2022 salary cap situation, TJ Watt this year is 14.46% of the salary cap because he has a cap hit of $31.1 million this year. Well, that number goes down then in the years after this.
Right. I mean, you can easily weather that this year. And then the following years, he's going to be a bargain for his paragraph five or whatever, you know?
Right. Cam Hayward is 8% of the salary cap. Stephon Tuitt is 6.4%. And then Fitzpatrick is 4.93%. And then everybody else is Devin Bush is 2.79%. Cam Sutton, 2.42%. I mean, they're
all reasonable, right?
Yeah, they've set themselves up well in regards to that. I mean, you go down Deontay Johnson right now for 2022 is 1.43% of the team's salary cap. He's being paid less than Joe Haig. He's being paid less than Mason Rudolph. He's being paid less than Derek Watt, Chris Boswell. You know, so the people talking about, well, Deontay Johnson, just let him. He stinks, did this, that, the other thing. He's been a bargain for a long time. At some point, the price comes due on guys who weren't first-round draft picks but who turn into stars.
See, I've been giving these two contracts a lot more thought the last couple of days, and I don't see any argument at all against anti-Minka. I mean, like, to me, that's an easy one. It's right there with Watt. He's not as valuable as Watt, but in where this team is, that's an extension all day long that signs a
He's also going to get $10 million less than Watt.
That's what I mean, right? I mean, he's not that same salary. He's not as good a player, but relatively speaking, he's in the same neighborhood for the position he plays and the value to the team. and all that good stuff. I'm a little less bullish than you are on Deontay, and it's not anything against him. But my argument anti-Deontay is what you just said, is he's a, that receiver room's making like $2 million a year. And if Pickens is really good this year and you draft another one in the second round next year, and you can just keep that formula going, and Deontay brings you back a comp pick when it's all said and done, I'm at least open to that one. I mean, I'm not
unopen to that, but yeah. Chase Claypool had better take a big step forward this year for me to feel comfortable about that.
Two of those three have to be good. You know what I mean?
Right. It can't be. Well, George Pickens is good. We can let Deontay Johnson walk. No.
Right. No. And where I was going with that is I might consider franchising Deontay just to buy a year to see if I want to invest or do I want to draft.
Yeah, I don't think
you'd be creative with that.
The franchise tag number at wide receiver.
I'm sure it's steep.
Yeah, it's going to, because of the big contracts that have been signed there, the franchise tag number at wide receiver is still $18.4
million. So, I mean, if I'm Deontay, most people get offended by, I want a long-term deal. I'll take $18 million guaranteed after making two this year and for one season and shop my wares again. Like, I would consider that option with him. I would not with Minka. I think it also sends the wrong message to Minka.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, the franchise tag, if Minka is one of your building blocks, I get it. If people don't think that Deontay Johnson is a long-term, you know, building block, mm-hmm. I get that. I can get that. Yeah. But the people who are saying that he's not any good.
No, they're crazy.
Are out of their minds.
Yeah. That's nuts.
Yeah.
Again, that's not at all a negative at all towards Johnson. It's just, you have a lot of cards in your hands and a great history of using day two picks on successful receivers. But I also don't want to be the team that has $60 million to spend every year and you never spend it on anybody, you know?
Well, that's the other thing. If you look at this year's salary cap, as I mentioned, Derek Watt is your highest paid offensive player this year in terms of cap.
I'm glad you brought that up. I find that funny. But and we're just talking about his salary.
What his cap hit is this year, it makes him the highest paid offensive player at $4.713 million. That is 2.19% of the team's salary cap.
I mean, obviously guys like Chooks are bringing in more money this year than Watt, but the way that, you know, they were just recently signed, so they're not big cap hits this year. It's, you know, it's in the future. And I'm sure my buddy sent me that text, and half the text read, you know, normal Steeler fans are like, that's crazy. You have to cut him. All they see is Watt should never be the highest paid anything. And I'm like, $4 million for a special teamer is fine. I mean,
they did this to themselves because last year they restructured him. He should have been about $4.2 million this year. They restructured him last year to create some additional cap space and push that number up to 4.7 this year. So, you know, they did that with the idea that he's going to be on the team.
Exactly. He's not going anywhere. You know, they like him.
Yeah.
But my point was, guys, you're missing the point. If your most, quote, overpaid guy on the offense is a fullback special teamer that maybe is making $1 million more than he should, that's a drop in the ocean. That's nothing. What you should look at is, this is an unbelievably young, talented offense. It isn't making any money. That's rare in this.
Very cheap, yeah.
Great advantage, right?
Very cheap.
Good side here, right?
I mean, in terms of bang for the buck,
mm-hmm.
you could make the argument that the offense is probably going to be a better value than the defense.
I can make the argument, and I don't know the rest of the league as well, but I feel pretty strong that per penny spent, the Steelers offense will get more on the field than any unit in the league.
Yeah. I guess
the league average, you win.
If you're 20th or 22nd, because you got the lowest paid offense in the league.
Right. You know, from pennies spent, dollars spent, what they'll get is a massive bargain. And again, you don't want to be the Pirates. I mean, I'm not saying cut every corner.
Well, that's why you do have to sign some guys. You can't just let them all walk. Because that sends the wrong message to your locker room.
I mean, maybe next year, this is uncharacteristic, a stud left tackle on his rookie deal comes up and Dan Moore wasn't great, and you make him the highest paid left tackle in the league or defensive lineman or whatever. I mean, you could do that. I mean, at this time, there's not a ton of dudes begging for massive contracts like there were.
The offensive line, the offensive line equivalent of Miles Jack becomes available, or Joe Hayden becomes available.
Absolutely.
That happens.
And you go get them.
And then you go get them. You have the money to sign them. So it's all, you know, it's all relative. I mean, you have to look at the big picture. You can't just say, well, the Steelers need to cut this guy or cut that guy. They don't need to cut anybody, folks.
They don't need to cut anybody.
They have plenty. They have they've got $12 million in cap space right now. They're in perfectly fine shape to sign all of their draft picks and still have money left over to do stuff into the season. They don't have to make a single move to get under the cap or anything of that nature. So everybody who's on this roster this year will be on the roster based on merit.
Yeah, assuming they don't screw it up. You know, right. Like the plan is to – this was the plan. You know, again, this is how people should remember Kevin Colbert's legacy, is setting the team up to be so fluid, you know, right now. I mean, it's like having all your money stuck in one stock you can't sell. You know, you want this fluidity. Like, I know they're probably not after a receiver, but you could have the A.J. Brown version of a corner next year, and you're the team that goes and gets him if you feel like it. Jalen Ramsey.
There may be another situation where Minkah Fitzpatrick becomes available, and you have the cap space to add that guy.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Right. I mean, you're one of the five teams that can do it. You know, that's hugely valuable.
Yeah, absolutely. But anyways, we're going to take a break. He is Matt Williamson. I am Dale Lally. You're listening to The Drive.
And you never lose your own. I say that 5 million times a show, it seems like. And anyone that comes up that you want to keep, you never lose. That's so valuable.
Yeah, absolutely. We're going to take a break down. We'll be back with more right after this.